Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina. You can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. Just a reminder, as always, please like the show if you're on YouTube, little thumbs up button. You can do it from your phone. You can do it from your computer. Please hit that. Take 1 second to hit that. All right, literally, just 1 second. Please do that. If you're on Apple, please leave a 5-star review. Spotify, same thing. And any sort of ratings or reviews, I would greatly appreciate from you guys. That's all I ask of you. That, and that you use me as your realtor. Very simple requests. So I'd appreciate if you guys could do that. Interesting times right now. Interesting times. I just had what was probably the busiest week of the year for me. A lot coming to a head right now. The market, just hasn't, I guess some of the traditional seasonal trends of the market are not happening in the order that we typically see them. Could be for a variety of reasons. Could be because, mortgage rates have come down in recent months. That tends to, not have a direct impact on buyer and seller behaviors for a few months. So typically rates have to come down for about 6 to 8 weeks before people really start to change their behaviors and really start to adapt to the new rate environment. Well, that has happened. We've had mortgage rates in the low sixes now for several months in a row. And it does seem like that has affected people. But I'm recording this on November 17th. I hosted the second busiest open house that I have ever hosted yesterday. For one of my listings out in the Reedville part of Greer. Not very many homes are in Reedville proper, kind of a small little town, but in the Reedville part of Greer. And yeah, I had over 20 parties show up for the open house, for a 2-hour open house. It was nuts, and not even a very big house. So it was like people were crawling over each other. The only thing comparable to that was I had an open house back in, I think it was 2021, but when the market was nutso, and I had a fixer-upper in a neighborhood that sells, really high prices, I mean, relatively speaking, for where it was. One of the nicest neighborhoods in, at least middle-class neighborhoods in the area that it was, but I had a fixer-upper. It was priced as a fixer-upper, and that one, the open house was insane. I wasn't even having people sign in. Because there were so many people, we just couldn't keep up with it. Thankfully it wasn't quite that busy. That was too busy. I wasn't prepared for that one. I needed a second agent to help me with that one, quite frankly. But this open house, turnout was great. Had a good time. And, the buyers are out there. They are out there. They're looking for something very specific. What is that? Large lots. They want large lots. That was what I was selling with this house that I had this open house for, over a half acre lot, 2,000 square foot house, nothing super fancy, but on a greater than half acre lot. That's what people want. That's what they want. They don't want these postage stamp lot sizes anymore. They're so fed up with that. And that's why there's so much anti-development sentiment right now. People are tired of all these rows of houses, and I get it. I completely get it. At the end of the day, it's an argument that kind of goes in both ways, right? We need developers to be making more of those sorts of communities, but at the same time, that costs a lot of money, right? If you only put one house in a space where you can put two houses, you as a developer are losing money in theory. But eventually the things are going to shift to the point where people just aren't going to buy those, postage stamp sized lots that homes are on. And then what, right? Developers are going to have to shift strategies. Now I'm not worried about the developers. They're really, really nimble. Even the big ones, super nimble. I mean, very impressive. Can't remember if I've mentioned this on the show before. But in Reedville, right? Reedville, they approved, some plans to have, a town center in the middle of Reedville. And, there's been some drama over that. Apparently, they had a contractor bid out the work, and then they decided, scrap all of that. We're gonna get other quotes. And my understanding is the whole thing is on ice. But where I'm going with all of that is that Ryan Holmes swooped in before, you know, the term Reedville Town Center was like an official anything. And Ryan Holmes swooped in and created a community called Reedville Town Center. Extremely, I mean, think about it. Ryan Holmes, one of the largest development corporations in the entire United States. They have boots on the ground that attuned to what's happening, that they knew, oh, we can swoop in here and steal this name. People that are Googling what's going on with the Reedville Town Center, they're going to be sent straight to the website for our brand new community, right? Incredible. Absolutely incredible. So I'm not worried about the developers. If they're that nimble, like that told me something, right? When Ryan Holmes pulled that off, I was like, kudos to them. That is impressive work. Impressive work. Whatever you think about Ryan Holmes, like they clearly have a very, very skilled back end to be able to suss something like that out. So good on them. Yeah, anyway, that's some little anecdotal stuff for you. But we are going to dive straight into the real deal here. Let me see if I can actually find what I'm looking for. Market stats. I apologize. Which? I want a very specific thing here. And is it providing it for me? So I use Zoom for all of this. And currently, Zoom is giving me a problem. All right, give me 1 second. Let me try this again. All right, I think I got it. All right, here we go. Sorry about that. Hate the dead air, but I don't edit these podcasts. It's too much work to edit out dead air and whatnot. So I'm sorry, you guys, if you had to listen to that, I apologize. All right, we're going to jump right in. So I just told you what I'm feeling from the market, my own personal business. Do the stats bear it out? New listings, we'll start at the top, up 21.9%. We've had a lot of 20%+ new listings month. And again, that's year on year. So we had, for the month of October, right, we're looking at October market stats here, Greater Greenville Association of Realtors, 2,324 new listings as opposed to 1,906 last year. We've been running hot all year on new listings. And the month of October was no exception. Tons and tons of new listings coming online. Pending sales, we'll jump to this, and we're going to look back at September, right? This is one that's always revised and always gets revised upward. So September originally showed 879 pending sales when we looked at this last month. That got revised up to 1,326, a pretty standard revision. I always tell you guys that gets revised. What does that mean? That was a 9.3% year-over-year increase from the 1,213 pending sales in September. So we had 9.3% more homes go under contract this September than last September. That's the highest number that we've had since March in terms of year-on-year increases. So again, the statistics bearing out September, things started to get hot in September, and in October is also looking like it'll be pretty strong. So October's unrevised number is 869. So if we get a similar revision to what we had for the month of September, we should see October somewhere in the low 1300s. Now, October of last year was 1324 pending sales. So we might actually have a down month. That would be the first down month of the year, actually. So that's kind of interesting. But October of last year, you know, that was a pretty strong print that we had. And you can see, if you're looking on YouTube, you can see that we had a nice little October bump, that happened where, you know, it looked like the market was bottoming out last year, and then October got a little bump, and then it started to come back down November, December, with, you know, December as usual being the slowest month for pending sales. Closed sales, 1,439 closed sales for the month of October, 10% increase over October of last year, which was 1,308. So here we go. And September was a 21% increase. Was that revised much? No, that wasn't revised a whole lot. A 21% increase. So now we've had two straight months of double-digit year-on-year increases in closed sales. So I told you guys, in my own business, I've seen this uptick the past couple of weeks and the past couple of months. And the data is bearing that out. Again, I would attribute a lot of this to the mortgage rate situation. Days on market until sale, we have a flat. 54 days on market until sale. That's exactly what it was a year ago, which is interesting because most of this year we've seen homes are taking longer to sell than they did last year. This is only the second time this year that there's been no difference year on year, right? The other month was the month of May, which was 46 days on market. That was the same thing as May of 2024. So October, 54 days. Now you might be hearing that and being like, whoa, it went up from taking 46 days to sell a home in May to all the way up to 54 days in the month of October. But this is seasonal, right? It takes longer this time of year than it does, you know, during the spring and summer months. And you can see it every single year. It starts to go up after the summer months. And then, you know, it usually peaks around January, February, March, somewhere like that. So we can expect this number to continue to go up. You know, on average, it's taking 54 days to go under contract from the time you list a home. That's probably going to slow down a bit more as we enter the holiday season. Median sales price. This is the closest thing that we have to like being able to track market-wide appreciation. That being said, it's not exactly appreciating, or it's not exactly a 100% indicator that the market is appreciating or depreciating, but it is a way that we can assess that. We had 1 month this year where the median sales price was down year over year. That was the month of January. Every other single month has been positive, and at least 1.5% increase every single month. Now, that's behind inflation. So, in a sense, housing has continued to become a little bit more affordable in this area when you factor in that it's not keeping up with inflation for the most part. However, the past 2 months have been running a little bit hotter. So September, we saw a 3.5% increase on the median sales price year over year. It got up to 319.9 over 309 September 24. And October went up to 323,000, which is a 2.9% increase from the 313,990 that we had in October of 2024. And that's a solid number, right? To see, you know, a 2.9% increase, that's right around, depending on how you track your inflation. That's pretty close to you know, what standard inflation is. So these past 2 months, we bucked the trend. Again, the market has heated up the past couple of months. It's going to be very interesting to see if we have some kind of residual effects of this in November and December. Personally, my November, December is looking pretty strong, right? Based on what I see in the pipeline and closings I have and whatnot. Average sales price came down month on month. Remember that last month we had the highest ever. It came down a little bit to $416,670. However, that is a slight increase from a year ago, which was $414,534. So half a percent point increase year over year. So I don't pay super close attention to the average, but I always tell you guys that, right? The median, I much prefer the median over the average. The average is skewed by all these, you know, million-dollar homes that are sold. We didn't have as many of them, apparently, the past month. So, but we have had, unlike the median, every single month so far this year has had a year-over-year increase versus the prior month. So it'll be very interesting to see for the average if we have an entire 12-month period of time for this entire year where that average price has seen appreciation for every single month. Percent of list price received. This is the percent found when dividing a property's sales price by its most recent list price, then taking the average for all properties sold in a given month, not accounting for seller concessions. Bit of a mouthful, but basically, this is, loosely speaking, how much you can expect to percent-wise to sell your home for once it's listed. So currently sitting at 97.8%. That is the second lowest that we've had all year. January was 97.7%. That is the lowest. October, 97.8%. That's a 0.2% decrease from the 98% that we had a year ago. That being said, that's still pretty much in line with historical trends. From 2017 until the pandemic, it was really normal for the percent of list price received to be right in the 98% range, give or take. And so we've been hovering right around there. That's been one of the few things that has reverted back to pre-pandemic norms in more recent years. Housing Affordability Index, we are so close. We are so close to hitting 100, which is the number that we want to hit, right? 100 on the Housing Affordability Index means that the median household can afford the median priced home, depending on, based on prevailing interest rates and median household incomes. Last month, we were at 99, and October, we are also at 99. Now, what's different is that last month was a decrease versus September of 2024, right? So, or I should say not last month, but September was at 99 and September of 2024 was 104. So that was a decrease in affordability. However, October being 99 is exactly the same as October a year ago. So even though the market has appreciated, these mortgage rates coming down, incomes going up has kind of offset the fact that the median sales price has gone up. So we're very, very close to having a market that passes the bare minimum standard for affordability. We want this number to be 100. It's at 99. And the good news is that it's been trending in the right direction. It bottomed out at 92 for the year back in June, July. And since then, it's been coming up. So this is the number that we want. It would be great if we could see this number go above 100. Mortgage rates tell the story here, right? If we see mortgage rates come back down into the real low 60s, like right around 6%, we would for sure see this number go above 100. So that's really what we need to genuinely see a difference in affordability. All right, inventory of homes for sale. This is another one that gets revised, although this one gets revised downward. So we'll look at September real quick. September's unrevised number last month was 6,516 homes for sale at the end of the month. That got revised down to 6,100. That being said, that's still a 31.8% increase year over year. And we're now in this interesting thing. We've had three straight months of 31% increases in inventory for sale at the end of the month. So July was 31.4% increase. August was 31.8%. September, 31.8%. Very interesting. I don't know, you know, again, the human mind is wired to see patterns. There's nothing inherently going on to create that exact number, but for some reason we keep seeing that number in more recent months. Now, October is going to get revised down from, currently it's saying 6,601 homes were for sale at the end of October. If it gets revised downward in a similar way to September, you know, it'll be maybe around 6,200, and that'll be a pretty substantial increase over October of last year, which was 4,546. So a lot more homes for sale than what we had a year ago, which is good if you're a buyer. If you're a seller, not as good. However, a lot of this inventory is new construction at the end of the day. You know, there was something, I just realized that there was something that I wanted to mention earlier. Maybe it'll come back to me. All right, month supply of inventory. This divides the inventory of homes for sale at the end of a given month by the average monthly pending sales. Well, if you've been paying attention, both those numbers need to get revised for the month of October. So currently it's saying 4.7 months of inventory. That's going to get revised down. We don't have 4.7 months of inventory currently. Let's look back at September. The unrevised number for September is 4.6. That got revised down to 4.2. So October will probably get revised down to 4.2, 4.3, which regardless is still a big jump over September, October of last year, which was 3.4 and 3.3 respectively. So again, we've got more inventory. We've got more month supply of inventory. So supply is outpacing demand. That's what that means. And so again, if you're a home buyer, that is a good thing, right? That's why we haven't seen prices go crazy. That's why the market is more tame right now. It's because of these sorts of numbers. Now what's going to be interesting to see, usually it starts to come down around this time of year. If you look at the chart, usually month supply of inventory actually bottoms out around January. But it's on the contrary, it's going up right now. So this is definitely something to watch. We might see some kind of a correction that happens in the month of December with some of these numbers that are acting wonky. I don't know. But a lot of interesting stuff going on. And the market is not doing the usual. It's not following the standard seasonality that we see, right? We're still seeing some seasonal trends, but we're also seeing some trends coming in that aren't seasonal, right? That are just a byproduct, I think, of mortgage rates doing weird things. Perhaps the ending of the government shutdown. I definitely think that impacted some things. Like, I'm pretty confident that I've got a seller a buyer for one of my listings that wanted a longer due diligence period than they really needed. And I'm pretty sure that it was because they were waiting to see how the government shutdown played out, because this was an investor buyer. And so sometimes, you know, people don't realize that those sorts of things do impact what happens in the real estate market. It impacts buyer and seller behaviors. It's crazy. But if you're an investor, it makes sense. Maybe you've got investments that that might go one direction or another based on what's happening in the government. You know, I know that Bitcoin has come down a little bit. That's causing some people to change behaviors on things. Just a lot of stuff, right? Things are so complicated now. We're all ready for things to not be complicated anymore. But it's not going to happen. It's going to keep being complicated. We just need mortgage rates to come down a little bit. We don't need 50-year mortgage. I don't really think that's going to make a difference. Now, it's been floated out this idea of portable mortgages. Portable mortgages would allow buyers to keep the mortgage rate and basically all of the terms, principal, interest, everything from the home that they're selling and transfer it over to the home that they're buying. There's a lot of mixed opinions on that. I'm in favor of it personally. Some people say, well, that just helps the rich get richer, right? Because that disproportionately hurts the first-time home buyer. In a vacuum, that's true. However, this is a step-up home buyer, right? So what this would do is a portable mortgage would cause that person that was a first-time home buyer a few years ago, but now they want to make that next purchase. It would allow them to make that next purchase, which would then free up the home that they bought, which would be the home that the first-time home buyer would potentially be buying. They're not going to be buying the home that the person with the portable mortgage is now going to purchase, right? And so in my opinion, it would actually help first-time home buyers as well, more indirectly. And so I'm personally for that. I'm not real big on the 50-year mortgage thing that Trump and Pulte have talked about. It's fine. Like, I'm not opposed to it. But people need to be aware that there are consequences to that, right? So let's say you get a 50-year mortgage and after, you know, your standard 5 years of living in the house, you decide to sell and buy your next house. Well, one thing people have gotten used to, after 5 years of a 30-year fixed rate mortgage, typically you have, you know, a little bit of equity built up, right? If the market's appreciated enough, you paid down a little bit of your principal, you have a little bit of equity, enough to be able to sell and then be able to pocket some money, put some towards your next down payment, all of that. If you got a 50-year mortgage, those first 5 years, you're paying almost all interest. And so people need to be prepared for that. That, I mean, they're basically renting the home for those first few years and hoping for there to be increases in the equity of the home simply by as a byproduct of the market appreciating. You're not gaining equity by paying down your principal, right? Not in those first few years. I mean, you're barely doing it in a 30-year mortgage. I've not run the amortization schedules for a 50-year, but I would think that you're really not, I mean, I know for a fact you're really not doing it in a 50-year mortgage. And so there could be some bad ramifications from that. There's a lot to consider. And I didn't come here prepared to talk about all that. Maybe I should have saved that for another episode. But there you go. That's a freebie for you guys. For all of you diehards that listen to the very end, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate all of my listeners. Every one of you that reach out, that give me feedback, please do that. And even more so, please leave feedback on the show. Like, rate, review, subscribe. If you need a realtor, my contact information is in the show notes. I would love to talk to you about that. We will talk again next time.